Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
Well, this week we celebrate Constitution Day on Monday, and that is when our U.S. Constitution was ratified became our Constitution as a nation that has lasted all these years. Well, this week we also received some sad news from the Ashbrook Center. Many of you are familiar with Ashland University. The Ashbrook Center is a constitutional studies program of the Political Science Department of Ashland University. And here is from the press release. It says, "We have sad news to share with you. Roger Beckett passed away last evening. He is the executive director of the Ashbrook Center. As you may know, he was being treated at the Cleveland Clinic for damage to his liver and kidneys caused by a serious staph infection. And of course, unfortunately, he passed away last Friday." Well, we're going to share, first of all, our thoughts and prayers are with his wife, Danielle, and his two daughters, and of course, the Ashbrook family, who was very sad, of course, in the passing of this great leader. And we ask that you pray for the Ashbrook students and pray for Roger Beckett's family, as they'll have a memorial service on it for him this weekend. But this week, we're going to have an encore presentation from a broadcast from last year with Roger Beckett, as we talked about his life's passion, and that is the Constitution and the founding documents of our country. On Constitution Day of 2017, we had an interview, and let's go to that right now.
Well, we're going to have with us the executive director of the Ashbrook Center from Ashland University, and that is the Political Science Department at Ashland University, a fine institution, the Ashbrook Center. We're going to give you more information about that. Of course, their website is ashbrook.org, and with me on the program is Roger Beckett. Roger, welcome to the program.
Chris, it's great to be with you.
Well, thanks for taking time out and joining us today. And, of course, this week is Constitution Day, and you've actually made some national headlines with an article that you wrote urging the candidates to take the day off, the Constitution Day, to actually read and study the Constitution. Explain to us what you're thinking about there.
Well, it's been pretty striking in this election season to see candidates just so freely talking about ways that the Constitution ought to be amended to change the things that they want to change. And our Constitution is in many ways the cornerstone of the stability of our republic. And we've only changed the thing 27 times, and a lot of those amendments came out of the original Bill of Rights. So we've changed this thing very rarely in American history. And the candidates just need to make sure that when they're thinking about what they want to do, if they're going to make permanent changes like that, they should be pretty deliberative about it.
You know, I saw a little funny clip from the old television program, Andy Griffith, where Barney is telling Andy he knows how to recite the preamble to the Constitution. Of course, he's needing a lot of help just to get started. It's very hilarious. But we really do want our young people to learn the Constitution, not just the preamble, but to actually read it. And, of course, the Ashbrook Center is all about the founding documents. It's about our American government, our American way of life. And, in fact, tell us a little bit about the Ashbrook Center at Ashland University.
Well, Ashbrook is an independent center at Ashland University, and we work with students and teachers all across the country, helping them develop a better and deeper understanding of what America is and why she's so significant in the long history of the world. And we work with these students and teachers to just help create new generations of informed patriots.
Well, of course, the Ashbrook Center was founded after Congressman John Ashbrook, who was from that area. That was his district. And, of course, a staunch conservative, a friend of Ronald Reagan. In fact, at your Ashbrook dinner this year, you had Ed Rollins, who actually worked with Ronald Reagan, both his campaign committee and also in the presidential staff. And he recounts the story when one of the first speakers, if not the first speaker for the Ashbrook Dinner, which has been a wonderful series over the years. I've been able to attend at least 8 of them over the last decade. You've had some great speakers that have come in, but one of your first speakers, if not the first speaker, was President Ronald Reagan. Tell us about that.
He was. He was the person that opened up the Ashbrook Center, and we've been very blessed over the years to have after him. It was Vice President Bush and then members of his cabinet, and we've had Benjamin Netanyahu and Margaret Thatcher and just many world leaders and national leaders who have been here to support our efforts to help better educate students about what America represents in the world. And it was wonderful with Ed Rollins. He spoke this year, but 30 years ago was on the airplane on Air Force One coming out with President Reagan and was working in the White House and was here for the first dinner and was honored to be out here for the 30th.
Where did Air Force One land that year? Was it at the air in Mansfield at the Air Force the National Air Guard base? Where did it actually land? Yeah,
exactly. They landed over in Mansfield. He took a helicopter over here and landed in the high school parking lot. It was a big event in a small town, and people still talk about it today who were around for it.
And that's really incredible. It really is, because here Air Force One is landing in this little town in in Ashland, Ohio, and the press corps is like, what's going on here? And a sitting president coming and being the first speaker at the Ashbrook dinner. I just thought that was awesome. And Ed Rollins, it was great to reminisce about the Reagan days and get some insight. And so that was wonderful. I really enjoy attending the Ashbrook events, and you do have events that are open to the public. As you have a number of speakers that come through, you actually have some activities coming up in association with Constitution Day. Tell us about that.
We do. This Friday, we are having our annual Constitution Day talk and having Professor Steve Knott, who not only teaches for us here at Ashbrook with our programs for teachers, but he teaches at the U.S. Naval War College, and he'll be talking about the founder's presidency versus the progressive presidency this Friday here in Ashland. And anyone's welcome to attend.
And you have a series of luncheons through the year that are also open to the public. Those normally are on Fridays, is that right?
They take place on different days of the week. We have one next Wednesday with the founder of Ariel Corporation down in Mount Vernon, and that company is celebrating their 50th anniversary. Jim Buchwald is his name, and he'll be talking about the creation. The title is Made in America: The Creation of One of the Best Capital Goods Companies in the World. So, folks interested in the business world are welcome to that. And others may be interested next month, in October, October 20th, we'll be having syndicated columnist Cal Thomas here to speak for an evening dinner. So information is on our website, and we'd love for people to join us.
And again, the website is... Let me see if
Ashbrook.org. Ashbrook.org.
Wonderful. And of course, just a great institution. You know, trying to explain people to say, oh, I've never heard of the Ashbrook Center. I said, well, have you heard of Hillsdale College? Well, they say, well, of course. Well, I said, this is kind of the Hillsdale College of Ohio, but I'll go one better than that. A lot of the staff that actually teaches at the Hillsdale College were graduates of the Ashbrook Center.
A number of our undergrads. In fact, I think the folks teaching the Constitution at Hillsdale, there are more of them who are undergrads here at Ashland than any other institution. And there are a small number of really good schools around the country, and that the folks can more safely send their students to and or their kids to, and this is one of them.
Well, of course, Dr. Peter Schramm. We can't talk about the Ashbrook Center without talking about Dr. Peter Schramm, who passed away this last year, who served in the Reagan administration and a wonderful man and had a vision for this school to really carry the mission through the years and had a personal input with each student that came in. And I remember when I brought my daughter September for the interview, interview with Dr. Schramm, and she loved it from the moment she saw the Ashbrook program. Of course, she graduated. She's now working at the Ohio State House, and that's another thing. I mean, folks, the Ashbrook graduates, the what we call the Ashbrook Scholars, they're really the mover and shakers of our world. They're doing tremendous work, you know, around not just the country, but really around the world. And there's been a lot of notables throughout the years that have been graduates of the college, gone on and done great things. And they're working with senators, they're working with congressmen, they're working in the White House, you know, throughout the year, the White Houses. And so these are, they're working at think tanks, you know, in Washington, D.C. They're, in fact, what I like is that as an undergraduate program, you actually require for the seniors to write a thesis. And it's only one of a handful of undergrad programs in the country that requires that. But yet, you know, in fact, my daughter September, she was working on this for over a year. Every time she'd come home for a weekend, she was in the books. And I said, what are you working on? My thesis, you know. So it was really a very serious intent. And of course, she wrote a wonderful piece, but it wasn't just her. All of the graduating seniors that presented their theses that year and every year, they're really a read in themselves. Explain to us that part of the program.
Well, it's a critical part of it. You know, one of the things that distinguishes what we do here at Ashbrook is to give these students a deep understanding of the principles upon which America was founded, and what we ask them to do is by the time they graduate have done a very rigorous paper that's usually around 50 pages long that they start on usually the beginning of their junior year at the latest and complete that. And what it does is it gives them the kind of experience they need when they go out in the world, and whether they're in politics or business, to be able to have completed that type of rigorous project, or if they go on to graduate school, it gives them a leg up, and it's one of the great features. And we know the students struggle with it, but just like September, they do very well with it in the end. And it's a great experience. It's a capstone to their education here.
We're talking with Roger Beckett, the executive director of the Ashbrook Center. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on the other side. We're going to talk about Constitution Day and the candidates running for office and their view of the U.S. Constitution. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
This is Chris Long with the Ohio Christian Alliance, encouraging you to register and vote. We're also encouraging churches to conduct Citizenship Sundays now through October 7th, which is the voter registration deadline for this year. You can conduct a successful Citizenship Sunday by going to our website at ohioca.org or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance and download the helpful voter registration packet. Just click on the Register to Vote icon and 8 pages will load, and you can print those off, which includes a voter registration form, application for absentee ballot, any voter guide request form of how many voter guides you will need for your church. Again, just go to our website at ohioca.org or Google Ohio Christian Alliance or phone 330-887-1922. Great, and we're back with Roger Beckett, Executive Director of the Ashbrook Center. We're talking about Constitution Day, which is this Friday, but is being celebrated on Saturday. Roger, explain that to us. Is it a federal thing, that the reason why they're doing it that way?
Yeah, the actual anniversary of the signing of the Constitution is on September 17th, but the U.S. Department of Education always encourages schools to celebrate the Constitution in some way, and so just because it happens to land on a Saturday, so they're going to be doing that in schools on Friday, but any day is a good day to read the Constitution in America.
Absolutely, and of course, this piece that you wrote about the candidates in reading the Constitution. I remember a former state representative and state senator, Tim Grindel, who's currently serving as a justice in Geauga County. He had a tradition. Every beginning session, he would read the U.S. Constitution and the Ohio Constitution. Now, of course, that's a novel idea. We would think that every legislator and office holder would do the same. It's certainly not required, but something in which he would do as a practice. First of all, to familiarize himself again with the Ohio Constitution, since he was going to be grappling with that with various pieces of legislation that would be offered or amendments that would be considered during the year in the course of his office duties as a state legislator. In fact, what he did, he realized as he began to talk to some of his colleagues, some of them had never read the Ohio Constitution. So what he did is, out of his own pocket, he began to print the Ohio Constitution and gave it to each one of his colleagues, both Democrat and Republican, and encouraged them to read it. Now, I actually challenged one of the Senate members to do the same, and they're actually considering that to do that at the beginning of every session. But, you know, we talk about that with office holders, but even more so in the schools in recent decades, there hasn't been the emphasis of teaching the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Northwest Ordinance. These things have been kind of left off the table, or been diminished, I should say, in their emphasis within the classroom under the auspices of what we call social studies. So, you know, the old political class that we would take back in the day, where we would have, depending upon the teacher's enthusiasm for the subject, we would have some kind of exposure to the Constitution in our form of government. That diminished over the years, and people did notice that. So in Ohio, we remedied that with a piece of legislation called the Founding of American Documents Curriculum Bill. And actually, we were able to get that passed, but it took me 10 years, Roger, to get that through the Ohio legislature. Persistence pays off. And in the end, Dr. Schramm was there for the signing. A number of folks from Columbus and, of course, Governor Kasich said, Long, where are you? Get over here, dot the I on Kasich. So he knew that we had put in a lot of heavy lifting to get that thing through. But a really fine piece of legislation that requires the teaching of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Ohio Constitution, the Northwest Ordinance in the Ohio classroom from the 8th through the 12th grade. Of course, it progresses in the scholastic intensity as you go on through the grades, and in the end of course exam as well. Now, we're going to get a report later in the program from State Senator Larry Obaugh, who's been monitoring that. He was the original sponsor, along with State Representative John Adams. Got to love that, right? The namesake of one of the founders was actually one of the co-sponsors of the bill. But Ashbrook, of course, played a role in that, in coming in and testifying in support of it. Talk to us about what's happening right now across the country in regard to the knowledge of the Constitution, our way of American government.
Well, if you look at history and civic education over the last couple generations, it's truly been on the decline. I think with the heavy emphasis on the STEM subjects for jobs, and you know, with science, technology, engineering, math, and with a greater emphasis on literacy, one of the effects that we've seen is that history and civics are being pushed out of the curriculum. And just broadly speaking, if you look at it nationally, you really see those topics being taught far less than they were 30 or 40 years ago. And that's a real problem. I mean, this is America is the greatest experiment in self-government that the world has ever seen. And for that experiment to work, its citizens have to know something about how our government works, and more importantly, why it works that way. And we were just doing that less and less, and honestly, it's not surprising that we end up seeing elections like this after two or three generations of really scaling back our history and civic education.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. I'm sure that as you saw one by one, some of the candidates on the Republican side of the aisle just fall by the wayside. Those who really showcase the Constitution, the balance of powers, they're articulated in their mission and in their, you know, their emphasis of their political campaigns. And we saw a businessman emerge who seemed to not have much exposure to none to political office prior to. Not having, you know, certainly he wouldn't consider himself to be astute in the Constitution itself. But this is a candidate that's been interesting, to say the least, and unique. And then we talk about Donald Trump, because in some ways he does support some of the things that we would almost call Reaganistic in the way that Ronald Reagan ran his campaign. Now, Ronald Reagan, though, was very well defined in his policies. Donald Trump has been, I mean, this thing was just, it's inside of 24 months from the time of the announcement to where we're at today. You know, and so I know there was a lot of people like, no, you know, it's like that this was the nominee. But it's gotten better, I think, of looking at the people he surrounded himself with. And we know that that's critical because at times, even with the Reagan administration, there were some people that were surrounding him that weren't such a great influence that, of, you know, that influenced for bad or good. And we look at some of the Supreme Court nominees that Mr. Reagan, I think if he had an opportunity, would have taken some of them back. And some of them, you know, Justice Kennedy was one of them. You know, it wasn't Kennedy was appointed by him, or was it George H. Bush? I think.
And I think if you look at Reagan, the consistency in his thought in his 64 when he did his Time for Choosing speech, and you look at the way that he talked about his political principles well before the time that he became president, and how consistent those principles were through his presidency. You know, certainly was someone who we did understand, you know, where he stood on issues and had a long track record there. But, you know, I always think back to the Constitution on these things, though, because you have a document that has created the most stable Republican, small r Republican government that the world has ever seen. And it created a large republic before America was founded. There were never large republics. There were small ones. But the idea of dividing powers and setting up a federal government that allowed for this large republic to grow in America is just a wonderful gift that has been passed down to us. So regardless of who the president is, and no matter what, you know, individuals think about particular candidates, there's a stability to American politics that prevents us becoming a third world country. So one of the many reasons for us to be thankful about the Constitution on Constitution Day.
Well, that's exactly right. And one of the programs that you run now is for, you know, American history teachers to actually do a master's program. History teachers do a master's program. Talk to us about that.
Well, sure. You know, one of the things that we've learned over time is that universities have been letting teachers down and sending them into the classroom without an adequate understanding of American history. And teachers are truly hungry to learn more about the country so they can help their students become good citizens and better citizens. And so we offer a wide variety of programs. The most intense is a master's program, but we're running one-day programs in about 13 states around the country, weekend programs at historic sites. And the simple idea is to put original documents in front of teachers and let them learn the real story of the country from the people who were involved in it at the time. So reading those speeches and letters and helping those teachers take those back into their classrooms and replace their textbooks with these much more interesting and much more true documents and speeches to just help them better tell the story of America.
Well, that's right. I mean, we can pass legislation like the Founding of American Documents curriculum, but if you don't have the teachers that have the passion and the knowledge of the Constitution to be able to relate that to students, it's going to get lost in translation. So I think it's a wonderful coupling. At the same time that we pass this legislation that's required in the districts, the Ashbrook Center is educating our teachers to go back in the classroom. It's not just for Ohio, of course, but it's all across the country. You have those who are coming in for the summer intensive. Well, Roger, that's we're going exactly to have you back on the program because there's so much more to talk about with the Ashbrook program. And folks, again, we want you to visit their website, ashbrook.org. It really is a treasure in our backyard right in Ashland, Ohio. And they have programs that are available to the public. Some of the luncheons, the dinners, some of the speakers. You want to get down there to the Ashbrook Center, visit what's going on down there. And, you know, I think you're going to be very impressed, and you're going to be the first of many visits for you. Roger, thanks so much for coming on the program today.
Chris, it's always great to talk to you. Thank you.
And happy Constitution Day.
The same to you.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. This is Chris Long with the Ohio Christian Alliance, encouraging you to register and vote. We're also encouraging churches to conduct Citizenship Sundays, now through October 7th, which is the voter registration deadline for this year. You can conduct a successful Citizenship Sunday by going to our website at ohioca.org or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance and download the helpful voter registration packet. Just click on the Register to Vote icon and 8 pages will load and you can print those off, which includes a voter registration form, application for absentee ballot, any voter guide request form of how many voter guides you will need for your church. Again, just go to our website at ohioca.org or Google Ohio Christian Alliance or phone 330-887-1922.
Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And we're continuing with our coverage of Constitution Week and also the acknowledgement of the passing of a great patriot from Ashland University of the Ashbrook Center, the Political Science Department of the Ashbrook Center, Roger Beckett, who passed away this last week due to complications. He was needing a liver transplant. He had been sick earlier this year, and he passed away. And there's going to be an observance this week, of course, at the university, in observance of his service at the Ashbrook Center, and of course, his love for constitutional studies. With us on the phone is State Senator Larry Oboff, who is the sponsor of Senate Bill 165 that was passed into law back in 2012, which assures that the Constitution is taught in the Ohio classroom from the 8th through the 12th grade with an end-of-course exam, the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers, the Northwest Ordinance, and the Ohio Constitution as specified in the Founding of American Documents curriculum. And we are now into our sixth year of that course study that is taking place across the state of Ohio in American government and history classes in all 88 school districts. Larry, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me on, Chris.
Well, thank you for coming on. And, of course, in observance of Constitution Week that we celebrated on Monday is Constitution Day. But it also a little bit sadness in our heart, of course, with the passing of Roger Beckett, a close friend of yours, and, of course, a great champion of the studies, constitutional studies program at Ashbrook Center at Ashland University. Your thoughts on the passing of Roger Beckett. Of course, last year, the three of us obviously conducted a program together in observance of Constitution Day last year. Tell us your thoughts on the passing of Roger Beckett.
Well, it's a tremendous loss for his family, for the Ashland community, for the conservative movement across the country, not just here in Ohio. Roger was an educator and spent a lot of time and a lot of effort trying to make sure that the next generation of students understood the greatness of America, that they knew who we are as a people, what we're about, and frankly, why our system of government is different and special compared to all of the countries that we see throughout history that came before. It's the second loss for the Ashbrook Center in just a few years, because Roger's predecessor, Peter Schramm, passed away just a few years ago. So this is a very difficult loss for the center, but also for the rest of us as well.
Well, the Ashbrook Center is named after Congressman John Ashbrook, who obviously represented that district in Ashland, Ohio, and a good friend of Ronald Reagan back in the day. And of course, the political science department of Ashland University, the Ashbrook Center, is named after him. In fact, the first speaker to the Ashbrook Center's dinner was none other than Ronald Reagan himself. And actually, while he was president, Air Force One landed in central Ohio there in Mansfield at the National Guard airstrip, and he drove the motorcade over to Ashland University to be its very first banquet speaker. And over the years, there's been a number of illustrious guests, political, you know, the who's who, really internationally, have spoken at the Ashbrook Center. Those students in that political science department have had up close and personal contact with really just the movers and shakers of politics and study and statesmanship around the world. Tell us a little bit about the history of the Ashbrook Center.
Sure. Well, I think that the Ashbrook Center is a tremendous asset for our area, and again, for the conservative movement in general, but also for education, frankly. There aren't very many places that focus on history and politics in the way that Ashbrook does. There are a couple, a handful of places that are all sort of related or have people who are involved in all of them. So Grove City College is one of them. The Claremont Institute is one, and then Ashbrook. And that's really the trifecta of these types of programs around the country. And as you said, Ashbrook has been very successful in bringing in significant speakers for major events, including former presidents, including, I believe, Margaret Thatcher 1 year was there. And I've been going to these events for at least 12 or 15 years, and they are amazing and give people an opportunity right here in Ashland County to interact with some of the more significant players on the political scene, but also people who understand who they are, what they believe, what their values are, and people who believe in the greatness of America, who understand the importance of the ideals that our country was founded on. And that's what's really unique about this and what really sticks out about what Ashbrook does. There aren't a lot of places
that's right.
around the country that are doing that right now.
Well, that's right. And some of their speakers at their dinner in recent years, Tucker Carlson, of course, was a recent speaker. Also, Ed Rollins, who was former campaign director for Ronald Reagan, actually told some great stories about that first visit of Ronald Reagan to the center as their first banquet speaker. Rick Perry, of course, was there, Governor Rick Perry, Ben Carson, Charles Krauthammer, Mike Huckabee, John Boehner, Mitt Romney, Fred Thompson, Jeb Bush, Glenn Beck. These are some of the recent speakers at the Ashbrook dinner. But like you said, they've had some Benjamin Netanyahu, George Will was there, Clarence Thomas, Supreme Court Justice, Henry Kissinger, and then a number of illustrious guests over the years. And this gives these students quality time with these really nationally and world-renowned speakers to come in and interact with the students. The Ashbrook Center also may not be as popular as Hillsdale College, and I always ask that. I talk about Ashbrook when I go out on the trail and I talk to folks about the constitutional study, and you'll see people raise their hand. Well, you know, people raise their hand. They'll say, well, look, I know that there is, you know, Hillsdale College, but they never heard of Ashbrook. Well, I said, do you realize that half of the faculty staff at Hillsdale are Ashbrook Scholar graduates? So, you know, they're out there really doing the work across the country and in Washington as well.
Well, so I'll amend my statement. It's not the trifecta, it's the fourfecta, if that's a word. And I know that Ashbrook and Hillsdale actually have a lot of close relationships, and a significant contingent from Hillsdale was out here visiting when Peter Schramm passed away. So some very, very close friendships there, and a close-knit community in general, even though it's spread across the country, a community of people who, again, care about the history of our country, about the values that we were founded on, and about the things that really make America great. And they provide a tremendous number of educational services, not just to their students, but to anyone who's interested in learning more about our country. I'll give you an easy example. They have a book entitled The 50 Core Documents, and this is a series of documents from American history that really show the history of our country, but also the history of the political philosophy that that underlies that. And in my office, we give free copies of that to anyone who comes in. We have them on a desk when you walk in, along with some materials about various parts of the district that you might want to visit, and they're available to anyone who wants one, because Roger felt very strongly that anybody who came into the Senate offices who wanted to learn more about the country ought to be able to do so at no cost. So they donated those to us year after year to give away to anybody who came in.
Well, that's right. And if folks wanted to learn more about the Ashbrook Center, it's ashbrook.org, just that simple. Ashbrook.org is their website. And, of course, the memorial service for Roger Beckett is this weekend, and the funeral service at the university. We ask people to pray for his family, his wife and two daughters that he leaves behind, but also the many students whose lives he's touched, and the current student body as well. The Ashbrook Center will continue. It will continue in its mission, and it will go forward. And I know that that's what Roger would want, of course, with Dr. Schramm as well. And, you know, it was launched with John Ashbrook's legacy of constitutional studies, and it will go on and be a great program for some time to come. But again, if you would like to make a contribution in the honor of the passing of Roger Beckett, a wonderful man, a man who loved our country, loved the Constitution, and the mission of teaching young people the Constitution, you could do so by going to the website of Ashbrook, ashbrook.org, and make a contribution in his memorial honor. Larry, obviously, our hearts are saddened by the passing of our good friend, but also he would want the mission to continue. And so there's going to be a successor to Roger Beckett. There'll be announcements, and the student body currently will continue as this year continues in the Ashbrook Dinner. But, you know, as we talk about that, I'm looking on the wall up here. I'm looking at the bill signing of Senate Bill 165 back in 2012, the Founding of American Documents curriculum, which we opened the program with, teaching our young people the Constitution. We're now in our sixth year. Last year, we had a little bit of a challenge because the state school board wanted to do away with the end of course exam requirement that you helped to implement when you passed the bill, pulling one full credit hour out of social studies dedicated to American government and American history. It's working quite well. My daughter, who's a senior, in the last few years, she's had advanced American government and history classes, and she's learning the Constitution. So we do get reports back from around the state of people that are their students and their children and grandchildren are learning the Constitution. Tell us your thoughts on that and the progress of the Founding of American Documents curriculum in Ohio schools.
Sure. I think that is one of the things legislatively that I'm the most proud of, and again, something that Roger and Peter Schramm actually helped with. They both were instrumental in helping me push that. That was the first bill that I ever passed as a legislator, and Peter actually testified in favor of it, and I think he was there for the bill signing that you referenced, and it was important to me, and I know to you and to both of them as well, that people get the fundamentals, that you read what I think is one of the most significant documents in Western history, which is the Declaration of Independence. it really sets us apart, I think, from everything that came before. Prior societies always assumed that power came from the government and some residual of it was given to the people, whatever was left over after the king was done, I guess. And that document stood for the very loud and clear proposition that no, power comes from the people. Government has only what we give to it, and we are all equal, and we all have inherent authority because God made us that way, not because it was given to us by somebody else. And it was important that people understand that underlying philosophy, but it was also important, frankly, that we just get back to the basics, because we had some studies at the time where they were asking people really, you know, basic questions about American history, about how our government functions. Can you name one power of the federal government? How many branches of the federal government are there? Things like that, things that you really need to know and understand if you want to be able to participate in a representative system of government like we have. And we were consistently surprised and disappointed by the results for surveys like that, and said, okay, this isn't acceptable. People need to understand how the government functions. They need to understand what their rights are. If we want people to grow up, if we want our young people to grow into adults who are participating in democratic self-governance to the maximum capability possible, they need to understand what their rights are. They need to know how the government functions. They need to be able to form well-developed ideas. Maybe those are the same ideas that I have. Maybe they're different, but there should be some core basis for them. And people really needed to get back to the basic facts of American history, and less about. I think at the time, there was a study by the Fordham Foundation that said that even if teachers taught everything that was in the curriculum, Ohio was still getting a C or a D because there were no facts, there were no dates, there were no actual events that were required. It was all big picture themes.
Well, it was right.
We
That's
wanted
exactly
people to know
right.
dates and facts.
Well, look, not only that, the We the People curriculum or book that they were using at the time was so watered down the documents that the original writers of the Constitution wouldn't recognize their own writ. So that's why the original documents, and that's why we specify them, the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers, the debate that went on leading up into the ratification of the Constitution, the Ohio Constitution, the Northwest Ordinance. These are the fundamental documents of our nation, and so this is what we wanted to specify. Our organization, of course, launched the effort with some others 10 years ago. We carried it on until the time in which Senator Grindel was passing it off to you, and thankfully you took up the baton and ran with it, along with State Representative John Adams, and were able to get it through, and then John Kasich signed it into law. So, again, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. Last year, they wanted to strip out the end-of-course exam requirement, which would have watered down the whole curriculum. Actually, we'd been back to ground zero, and basically we said no, and thankfully, Senator, you weighed in to the state school board, and then all the calls and emails and letters that came in from constituents around the state to their state school board members, they withdrew the proposal, and so we're good for the next 5 years at least until they reassess the social study curriculum requirements, and so we're good to go. But again, we just got to keep after them, because these are the changes that happen in the classroom, and as we can see in our culture today, where there's a growing sense in the young population for a socialist style government. Well, if you learn the isms and the governments around the world, you can see that socialism is a terrible failure, has been everywhere. Communism and socialism have been implemented. The most recent case, of course, is Venezuela and the poor people there that are suffering there, as socialism has just collapsed upon itself and people are suffering and literally dying. So, thanks to you and what you're doing. And so you're finishing up your term as a senator. What's your plans going forward?
Sure. Well, I have about 2 years left on my current term, a little bit more than that. But I'm not really worried about what I do next. My view on these things is that if you keep your head down, you do your job as well as you can, something will come along. And if it does, preparation will meet opportunity, right? But if it doesn't, life goes on. So I'm not sure what the future holds for me after 2020, but I know that I've been very blessed in the meantime to be given the pretty weighty responsibility of working for all the people of Ohio, and that for the next 2 years or so, 2.5 years or so, that's what I'm going to do.
Well, thank you, Senator. We appreciate your service to our state, and we're talking to State Senator Larry Olboff, who is the Senate President, and will continue for the next 2 years. Senator, we appreciate that you came on the program, and again, our thoughts and prayers are with the Ashbrook family and with Roger Beckett's family and his passing this last week. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
God bless. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on the other side with some closing thoughts.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
This is Chris Long with the Ohio Christian Alliance, encouraging you to register and vote. We're also encouraging churches to conduct Citizenship Sundays, now through October 7th, which is the voter registration deadline for this year. You can conduct a successful Citizenship Sunday by going to our website at ohioca.org or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance and download the helpful voter registration packet. Just click on the Register to Vote icon and 8 pages will load, and you can print those off, which includes a voter registration form, application for absentee ballot, any voter guide request form of how many voter guides you will need for your church. Again, just go to our website at ohioca.org or Google Ohio Christian Alliance or phone 330-887-1922.
Well, the election is coming up very quickly, and that's November 6th. We'll be casting our ballot for governor and attorney general and secretary of state, auditor and treasurer. Congressional members are up on the ballot, as well as Ohio House and Ohio Senate, and many local candidates as well. Well, to learn more about where the candidates stand on important issues of pro-life, pro-family, where they stand on religious liberty and issues on the family, it's all listed in the Ohio Christian Alliance voter guide, and that is available on our website at ohioca.org or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance. Right at the top of the page, you'll see a request for voter guides for your church. You can fill that form out, and we'll make sure that your church gets a complement of those voter guides. Now, if you're representing your church, just call pastor, ask him how many voter guides you'll need for your church, and then let us know by ordering them through our website. Again, that link is right at the top of the page, right after the Citizenship Sunday information. You'll see the request voter guides. And so click on that link, fill out the form, and request voter guides for your church. It's so important for us to be informed of where these candidates stand on important issues of pro-life, religious liberty, where they stand on issues for the family. All of that is listed there in the Ohio Christian Alliance voter guide. Well, this week is, of course, Constitution Day on Monday, and we celebrated our nation's Constitution, which reads in the preamble, "We the people of the United States,
in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America. You know, we encourage people through our email that we sent out this week, read the U.S. Constitution this week and read it with your children. There's no better way to talk about how our government operates in the three different branches of government, of the legislative, the executive, and the judicial. And of course, what we have in Washington right now, we ask you to pray for Brett Kavanaugh, as there has been obviously an onslaught by the Democrats to oppose his nomination. And here we go again, just was with Clarence Thomas, unfounded claims against Brett Kavanaugh going back 36 years ago, with no other corroborating evidence a woman has made a claim, and which can't be verified by other witnesses and all this. Well, pray for Brett Kavanaugh, pray for his family, pray for our senators as they make determination. This man has already been vetted by the FBI numerous times of the various positions in government that he's held. And so there isn't anything there. And it's unfortunate for the opposition party, the Democrats, because they don't like his constitutional views, that he's a conservative, and that he is pro-life in his views. And that's what they're bothered by. And so they have thrown up everything but the kitchen sink against Brett Kavanaugh. So pray for him. Pray for our senators. Senator Portman has already indicated his support for Brett Kavanaugh. He actually helped to present him to the U.S. Senate committee. So Sherrod Brown has indicated he's going to vote no, but that's not the last word. You pray there should be enough votes for Brett Kavanaugh, and we hope that you will support and pray for him as well. Well, thanks for listening. Again, prayers for Roger Beckett's family as he passed away. He was the director of the Ashbrook Center. Thanks for our good friend Larry Oboff for coming on and memorializing our friend and, of course, the fine work of the Ashbrook Center. And to learn more of our organization, just log on to our website at ohioca.org. Thanks for listening. God bless. Have a good week.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.